Now, if you're a Twitter follower, you may have come across a tweet issued by Mary Beard, Professor of Classics at Cambridge University. It followed her appearance last week on Question Time and included a link to her blog in the Times Literary Supplement. In it, she detailed some of the quite unbelievably vulgar and misogynist abuse she'd had online. We'll be very careful not to let any of the language slip out during our conversation. She joins us from Cambridge. Mary, the website to which we won't give the oxygen of publicity has announced it to end. How much of a result is that?
Well, I think that's a victory for kind of citizens' action online, really. I mean, once I'd drawn attention to it, there was a wave of protests from women and men on Twitter, actually on my blog and on the website itself. And I think in the end, the guys, and I imagine they're guys who are running it, sort of did the sensible thing and said, look, you know, we're not going to go on with this. And
how would you describe the abuse that you had without using the words?
It's quite difficult on mainstream radio, but there was an awful lot about my vagina, about its size and its shape and its smell and what might be inserted into it. And there were more C words and F words and D words and P words than you can possibly imagine.
Why did you decide to go public about it?
Well, I don't know, it's a difficult decision because what women, you know, women are usually told when this kind of thing happens, and it happens to loads of people, they're told, you know, just shut up because, you know, if you respond, if you react, you'll bring it just the kind of publicity that it's looking for. And, you know, there's a good point in that. But the more I looked at this, the more I didn't feel very comfortable with that. I mean, for a start, it seemed to me that women are always being told, you know, shut up and take the abuse because otherwise you'll make it worse. I've been told that for millennia. You know, it's about time to say, look, sorry, mate, you know, not on. And I kind of felt that, you know, in some ways, online, the web, it's a bit, you have to have the same rules as you have face to face. And if I heard somebody saying that about me in a bar, I'd go up and I'd say, excuse me, guys, you know, can you shut up, or, you know, or go outside. And in a way, it's kind of trying to reclaim a bit of that kind of normal manners and courtesy of social interaction for online as well as for face-to-face conversation, I think.
Now, some men have been targeted as well, although not in such an obscene or aggressive tone. But what do you think fuels such hateful abuse?
It's very hard to know. I think it is right to say that this doesn't only happen to women, and I've discovered in the last week you can use the C word about men too. You know, when you read it, I mean, your first instinct is this is ghastly misogyny, which, you know, of course it is, and that's kind of obvious. You also get, you know, being a bit more charitable and a bit more analytic about it, you get a sense of a real desperation on the part of people who are doing this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I don't think that people who are happy in their lives, you know, end up an evening with, you know, posting a lot of C words and F words about me online. So, you know, something terrible is going wrong in their lives and in the way they see the world. And I think, you know, one has to think a bit about the sources of the alienation and anger of these people. And I think misogyny is one way in which they express that alienation and anger, but it's not the whole root cause, I suspect.
How upsetting has it all been?
Well, it would be wrong to say not at all. But, you know, you read this stuff about you and you think, help, you know, it's a bit like somebody kind of giving you a punch. But, look, you know, I'm 58, I'm very lucky, I've got a thick skin, I read this, and in some ways, I don't really feel it's about me, and in a certain way, it isn't about me. And I also thought, look, because, you know, I can take this on the chin a bit, it's all the more reason, honestly, for me to actually say, look, enough is enough, guys, stop it. Because I think there's a lot of women, and I've since discovered it's true, there's a lot of women getting this kind of abuse, and actually they feel absolutely crushed by it. And I think I, had this happened to me 20 or 30 years ago, I think I would have too. You know, it's one, one advantage of getting to be in your late 50s is you don't mind quite so much and you can stand up for other people.
How much time have you spent on dealing with it?
Much too much. I mean, I ought to be writing my books. And I suppose it's been, full-time occupation for several days. But I think it's, partly you think, look, once this happens, you just got to see it through. You know, it's no good putting your head above the parapet and then ducking down again. You know, got to finish it.
It's true that lots of other women have suffered similar abuse. About 18 months ago, there was a whole group of young journalists who wrote about this and were deeply upset, as you suggested, threats of sexual violence being very common. What do you think is going to be the impact on women in public life if this kind of thing continues?
Well, it's a definite disincentive for, going on to a television programme, isn't it? I mean, if I was thinking, if I'd got an invitation to a radio or television chat show and I was a woman and had frank views, which I wanted to express frankly, and I saw what had been happening to me, I would think twice about going on that programme. You'd have to say, at the least, it'll be a bit uncomfortable. At the worst, you might get drawn into something that's really unpleasant and extremely time consuming.
I think there is evidence, isn't there, that fewer women say yes when they're invited to this sort of thing like Question Time than men do.
And you can see why. I mean, it's, the stakes are much higher and you have to be prepared for a backlash just because you have said something perfectly reasonable that you think that, frankly, if a bloke said it, would not attract this kind of attention.
What's the solution, Mary? I mean, obviously, you've achieved something by talking about it and going public about it, but overall, what's the solution to it?
Well, I do think in some ways we have to answer back, whether that's on, in Twitter or on these more sort of aggressive websites. And I mean, one of the most encouraging things for me really was I decided also to respond to offensive tweets and just say, excuse me, if you want to talk about this, that's fine, but can you just take those words out? And, and I'm not actually evil, and neither are you. And I think the good thing was that an awful lot of people then got back to me and said, look, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, I was cross. And, I feel pretty charitable to that. I mean, everybody says things on Twitter that they don't quite mean later, and I'm certainly have done that. But I think that we've got to have the courage to both say, excuse me, can you withdraw it? And also the courage to say, whoops, sorry, shouldn't have said it. And if we could make the online community obey more of the rules of the face-to-face community, perhaps with a bit less anonymity, I think that would be better. I mean, I don't want legal regulation. I want people to treat each other decently online, and perhaps this is a start.
Professor Mary Beard, thank you very much for being with us. And on the